All right, good morning again.
Good morning.
All right, when I was a kid, I was out on the playground at the elementary school, and we were out playing, and there was a ball field behind the playground. And I'd kind of wandered off, a couple of my friends and I, we'd kind of wandered off to the ball field area, and we were playing in the dirt. Maybe that's where Ashlyn gets from playing in the dirt. And we're over and we're playing in the dirt over here, and something catches my eye. It's this piece of silver, little shiny thing. So I go and I pick it up, and I look at it, and it's a coin. The coin has been well worn to the point that I can't even tell what it is. I had no clue. I had to take it home to Mom and Dad and said, "Mom, Dad, I found this." And they said, "Well, let's see if we can figure out what it was." It was a Liberty quarter. Y'all know what that is? Probably my older generation in here knows what a Liberty quarter is. This one, I can't even tell you the year that it was made. It was so worn out. But it had Lady Liberty on it, and the year and below, I couldn't tell. But coins, they wear out. If you hold them long enough and keep them in your pocket long enough, they'll wear out. In fact, when we lived out in Fort Worth, we took the kids out to the mint to see how money's made. So we go out there and they've got the production line on how they're making the money down below, and then above you can walk around the whole place and look down through windows and see them printing money. I mean, it's pretty cool to see all that money just flowing through those machines. And you're thinking, are we doing this like putting too much money in? And they said, no, most of the money they make is to replace the money that's worn out. See, money is the same as the coin, as the money. If you handle it long enough, it's going to wear out. Well, this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at love. And our society has treated the word love a lot like money. We've worn it out. Originally, it meant one thing, and we've used it so much that it means completely different things nowadays. So our big idea this morning is Christians are commanded to love each other. Christians are commanded to love each other. And just like money, the word love has been worn out big time. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 through 11 is what we're going to be looking at. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. And we're going to talk about love and what it is and how we should show it to others. Because our society today, you can walk into a store. Ladies, y'all walk into stores and you say, "I love that. I love that. I love that." And you associate the word love with an emotion, don't you? Because you see it, it's pretty, it makes you feel good, so that's love. But biblical love is completely different than what we say love is nowadays. So let's take a look at it and get started. So starting in verse 7, it says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And the one who says he is in light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. And the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, right now I just ask you move me out of the way, and your words are spoken this morning. Because, Lord, we're going to talk about how we as Christians should love other people, and how if we don't, how it has a direct effect on our relationship with you. So Lord, just help us to push everything else out of the way right now and focus on you these next few minutes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so love can mean many different things. That's the first thing on your listening guide. Love can mean many different things, or it meant many different things. Now, for us, we've got one word, love. And when you're reading in the New Testament, it says love and love and love. But the Greeks had four words they used to describe love. Don't you wish we had that too, that we had four words that so that when you said I love something, people would actually know what you're talking about? They used four different words. The first was stergo, and that usually described something that you had in common with somebody else. So say like you like the same team as the other group, well, y'all love that team. Y'all had that in common with each other. So that when you said I love that team, well, yeah, me too, you're talking about something you have in common is what it is. That one I don't think is used in the New Testament. The next one is ergos, and that basically meant it was a physical kind of love. It wasn't an immoral kind of love, but a physical love. It was a physical attraction to each other. So that's what they would use for that word is ergos. The next one is phileo. And that the best way to describe that is a friend to a friend, or a brother to a brother, or a sister to a sister. It was a love of each other, but it was more, it's not a physical love, but it's more of how you love your friends. How you do anything for your friends. How you love your brother or your sister. That kind of love. In fact, the city Philadelphia. What's the nickname for the city Philadelphia?
Brotherly love.
Brotherly love. The city of brotherly love. You know why? They get it from phileo. Philadelphia, phileo. City of brotherly love. So if anything else, you learn why Philadelphia has the name Philadelphia. But the one that the New Testament spends the most time on is agape love. Y'all probably have all heard that word agape, right? Here's what that word means. It describes the love of a superior to an inferior. But it also describes the love of an inferior to a superior. Now, why is that important? Why is that so? Back in these days, when they started using that word, that was radical. When people would pick it up and start reading in the Greek, they would say, wait a minute, why are you using that kind of word? It was completely different. It was throwing them off for a loop. Here's why. Because it describes a love that most people didn't want to think about. So it's a love of God who's way up in heaven and man who's way down on earth. And God is saying, I love you, I'm the superior, but yet I still love you. I created you, and I love you. That is agape love. But then it also is return because us, we're way down on earth, and we're looking up at God in heaven, and we're saying we love you. It's not a brotherly love. We can't look at Him like a brother because He's our Creator. So it's an agape love. It's a love that a superior to an inferior. That's God's love for us. It deals with the mutual care of believers for one another. We can say that because we show that love. Regardless of what's going on, we show that love for them. This type of love, it knows no racial boundaries. It knows no social boundaries. It knows no cultural boundaries. None of that gets in the way of agape love. Because agape love is coming from higher to lower. So if there's any kind of racial thing, it doesn't matter. Social status, it doesn't matter. Because all the class stuff gets thrown off to the side. Agape love shows true love. It's a love of more than a feeling. It's a love of action. When you say that I love somebody the agape way, that means I'll do anything for that person. Regardless of what it means, I'll do anything for them. This type of love, what it means is that when you're sitting at home and the phone rings and you really don't want to get up off the couch that day, this is your Saturday and you're just going to stay home. For guys right now, March Madness is going on and you want to sit in front of the TV and veg all day and watch March Madness. Or maybe ladies, something's on, I don't know what y'all watch nowadays, I won't even act like I know. And there's something you want to watch, a marathon of movies or whatever, and the phone rings. And somebody says, can you come help me today? your love for them then means you got to push aside everything you had planned, and you got to get up off that couch, and you got to go help them out. That's agape love. That's love in action. Agape love is something that costs you. It's not a feeling, but it is when you put your feelings in action and you do stuff for other people. So those are the different types of love. When you hear it talk about in the New Testament, they're the four types of love they had. But now we get to verse 7, it says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard." Now what he's talking about there is that an old commandment with a new emphasis is what he's talking about. An old commandment with a new emphasis. Now that old commandment came from two places. The first was Deuteronomy 6:5. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Now, if you're loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, are you pretty much loving God with everything you got? That's what agape love is. You're loving Him with everything that you have. But then the next one, this old commandment, is Leviticus 19:18. It says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then he always wrote at the end, "I am the Lord," meaning I said this. This is my commandment. So you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people. That means anybody that's related to you. For us, that means basically everybody. Joe talked about it this morning before Sunday school. Who's our neighbor? It's everybody. It's not just the person that lives next door, but it's everybody. But he says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That was the old commandment. God's always wanted us to love Him and to love our neighbor. So John's saying, "Beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you. You've known from the beginning that you need to love God and you need to love your neighbor. That's what you need to do." This isn't a new commandment here. It's been around since Moses was up on the mountain and came down with the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are wrapped up into two that Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor. Those break down the whole Ten Commandments. So it's not anything new. This is a new commandment, though, in that Jesus tells us this. In John 13:34, Jesus says this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I loved you, that you also love one another." So Jesus is coming in and saying, here's the new part of the commandment. Here's the new emphasis on that old commandment. Now that word "new" that you see in here, "I'm not writing a new commandment to you." That "new," the Greeks, they had two words for "new." See, I like the Greek, the way they wrote, because one word for us could be several words for them. So we're taking the Greek and we're trying to fit it into the English language. And sometimes it doesn't fit really good. They had two words for "new." The first word that they had for "new," it could be describing a new in time. Now what do I mean by that? Alright, it's March Madness, also Super Bowl time, and also Christmas time. What always goes on sale? I was going to say, guys, y'all should know this. The big TVs, you always see them on sale because any major sporting event, Super Bowl, Christmas because they're hoping for a Christmas gift, or March Madness, they get the big TV. And you always want the new year because the new year has something extra that the old year doesn't have. Well, that first "new" in Greek was in time, meaning that it would be something new coming out. So you would take one year's TV, compare it to the next year's TV. There's not a lot of difference, it's just something new. Meaning that this one is just a little bit newer than the old one. That's what that one was. It dealt more with time. The other one dealt with quality, and that's what we're talking about here. This is what John is pointing out here. I'm not writing a new quality of this commandment. I'm giving you the old commandment, but in a new emphasis, a new quality that you should put on this word right here. Now, this new quality, it meant taking like, all right, we'll go back to the TV. Before, when I grew up, we had those TVs, and it would be about, you know, this big. That was the front of it. The back of it was like this wide. Y'all know those old picture tube TVs? Some of the young kids are probably going to say, I have no clue what y'all are talking about. I don't know what a picture tube TV is. That means, that shows what a new in quality is. See, nowadays we've got the flat screens. They're like this thin, right? And they're like this big, right? But before, we had those big, clunky, 400-500-pound picture tube TVs. If you've ever moved a lot, you don't like those TVs. Younger kids, y'all got it made nowadays because those things are hard to move. But it was where we went from one extreme to the other. Here, let me give you another example so you can see. Cell phones, when they first came out, all you could do was call. That was it. No calendar, no texting, nothing at all. All you did was you carry this big, clunky, bulky thing around, and you could call people on it. But you thought you were cool, even though when you put it up to your ear, this thing was like this big, and it was like that wide. And then they came out with the flip kind. The flip kind, it was like this thick, and you could flip it out. You couldn't carry it in your pocket. You had to get some kind of case because the thing wouldn't fit in your pocket. But then the iPhone came out, and that completely changed everything about the cell phone, because the iPhone could do more than anything else. You could talk, you could text, you could take pictures, you could listen to music, you could do almost everything on that one phone. You see how the quality of the cell phone changed from just being able to call to doing everything else? That's what John has in mind here. It's something old, but it's in a new way. There's a new quality to what he's saying here. And this is what he's showing here. So that when we show love, we're fulfilling God's commandment. And we can see that in Romans 13, 8 through 10. In Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says this, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. If there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this, saying, you shall love your neighbors as your love, as yourself. Love does not wrong a neighbor, therefore love is a fulfillment of the law." See, he's saying you just wrap all these other Ten Commandments up and say you love your neighbor as yourself. And that is fulfillment of the law. So it's an old commandment in a new way, is what John's saying. And you have known this as long as you have known Christ. We can see that too in verse 7. It says, "Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning." That "from the beginning" means the beginning of your Christian life. So it's not like from the beginning of time. This is from the time that you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. From that time on, that's what he's talking about. You've heard this. You should have heard this. In your church, you should hear this. When you pick up the Bible, you're going to read this. So John's saying, I'm not writing something old. This is something you know. You have known for a long time. Love your neighbor as yourself. So you've been hearing it, that this is the way it is. So how do we love God? Well, if we look in Romans 13, it says the way we love God, the way we fulfill the law, and if we want to love God, we want to do what he says. The way we do it is we love our neighbors as ourselves. So how do we love God? How do we show that love to him? We love our neighbors as ourselves, is what he's saying here. That's love. But it's not the love of, well, I'll do something for you if you do something for me. Not that type of love. It's a different love. It's, I'll do something for you regardless if I get anything in return. That's love. That's when it costs you something. When you know, I don't expect anything in return. All I want to do is help you out. That's love. That's when you know somebody loves you truly. when they're not asking, okay, what am I going to get in return? But if you call them and say, can you help me out? And they drop everything and they come help you and they never ask for anything in return. That's love. That's what we need to get back to. So the emotion part is out, and it's more of a reaction and an action is what love is. So this shows how we're different from the world. Because our world nowadays, it says that we should hate our neighbors. The world's filled with hate, with envy. We look at our neighbors and we say, look, they've got this. They've got that nice new whatever car. I'd really like to have that too. And we start getting envious of them. Man, that thing is nice. Can I go drive that car around? And we start wanting it. But then not only that, deceit will tell a lie in a minute. The world, no problem with that at all. Self-serving, foolishness, all of that. It shows everything but love. That's our world today. It's everything but love. But yet Christ is coming in saying, here's your new commandment. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. Meaning you do anything for your neighbor to help them out. Now, so that's our old commandment with a new emphasis. But now the next is our example of love is Christ. Our example of love is Christ. And we can see that in verse 8. It says, on the other hand, I'm writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Now we can see this example by what Jesus said here on earth. So we can see how we should love by what Jesus said on earth. We can see it because He's not asking us to do anything that He didn't do Himself. I like that about Jesus. He's never going to ask you to do anything that He hasn't done Himself. He's never going to do that. And He's telling you to love your neighbor as yourself. And then He shows us how He did it so that we know how we should do it. Let's think. I want to show you two examples. The first is there was a woman and a man that were caught in the act of adultery. And they drag the woman out into the marketplace. And they bring her out. And Jesus is there. And they bring her, all of them there. And they say, all right, what should we do with this lady? And what does He do? He bends down and starts scribbling in the sand. And then He says, whoever has done anything, who has never done anything, pick up the first stone. Goes back scribbling. And then, one by one, the older ones leave first because they realize they've all sinned. They can't pick up that stone. And they start walking off. The younger ones start walking off. He looks up and he says, where's everybody at? And the girl's like, they all left. He said, your sins have been forgiven. Go and don't sin anymore. That's forgiveness there. That's in front of everybody. They were in a town square where everybody could see this. And He said, this is the way you're going to forgive people. The other time was when He's hanging on the cross. They had nailed Him to a cross. And what does He say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. Forgiveness from the cross. They've beaten Him and put Him on the cross. And what does He do? He asks for forgiveness for them. That's what He said, but we can also see by what He did too. And by what He did, the best way I can see that is His 12 disciples. He picked the most unorganized group of guys that you could pick as disciples. These are guys that you would expect would blunder everything. And they did. They messed up all the time. All the time He's correcting them, but He never gave up on them. He never just said, see you. You messed up enough that I'm done with you. He always kept correcting them, showing them love, showing them how to do it, and going on. He never showed malice towards anybody. He doesn't like sin, but He never hated the people that committed sin, because He was always quick to forgive them if they came to Him and asked for forgiveness. And see, that's the way we should be. But what we're bad about is this. We like to compare our lives to other people. We like to take somebody that we know is probably not walking the way they should, and then we look at ourselves and we're like, look how I look compared to this person. You see, they don't come to church but maybe once a year. Lord, I'm there like every week. I look good, right? And we're easy to compare ourselves to others. And that's not what he had in mind by this. What he has in mind is we will show love towards our neighbors. So we can see it by how he did it. He is our example. If we want to know how we love, we look at him for our example. Well, the next thing on our list is Christian fellowship affects our relationship with Christ. Christian fellowship affects our relationship with Christ. We can see that starting in verse 9. It says, "No one who says he is in the light, yet hates his brother, is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, the way I describe this kind of fellowship, is that we have two types of relationships. The first type is a vertical relationship. That's our relationship to God. That's the first part of our relationships here on earth. The second one is a horizontal relationship, and that's our relationship to other people. And what John is saying in here is that our relationship with people has a direct effect on our relationship with God. If we say that we love each other, that we love everybody around, but yet we don't really show it, then that is affecting our relationship with God. The two go hand in hand. You can't say you love God, but yet hate everybody around you. There's no way. You will affect your relationship with God. So if you're walking around with all this bitterness and all this hate or malice towards somebody, that is directly affecting your relationship with Christ. There's no way around it. That's what he's saying here. Because he says, the one who says he is in light, meaning that he is walking with Christ, walking hand in hand, and doing what Christ wants him to do, yet hates his brother, is in darkness until now. He's saying, you're basically in darkness. Now, in darkness, it can mean two things there. It can mean, one, that you're not walking hand in hand with Christ. Or two, it could be that you're not even with Christ at all. You don't know him as your Savior. It's one of the two. So he's saying that you're in darkness, basically, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is our... No, let me go to verse 8, verse 9. Yet he who hates his brother is in darkness until now, and the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Now that cause and stumbling is basically saying we can stumble in two ways. The first way is we can stumble ourselves, meaning that we ourselves can stumble. Or the other way is that we can help others stumble. And the way I see this, the way I picture this in my mind when I read this, to keep us from stumbling around, is when I get up at night, or when I'm turning off the lights in the den, there are toys all around in the den. And it's like a minefield that I'm walking along, and I'm feeling with my feet on where the toys are. And I'm always stumbling over toys. And the next morning I'm always, kids, can y'all clean up these toys? Because if you like the toys, then you better clean them up. Because if I step on them, I'm going to break them. I weigh enough now that I will break them. There's no question there. And that's the stumbling I have in mind when I'm reading this, is I think in my mind that I'm walking in the dark, and I'm trying not to step on the Legos that are there, or the baby dolls, or whatever that's in the floor. I'm trying my best not to step on it. And that's what I have here. But now the other thing is, it's not only me that stumbles, but if somebody's walking behind me, and I'm trying to lead them through that den, and I'm saying, you just follow me, and I'm walking along and I hit a toy, they're going to hit a toy right behind me, right? And I'm going to say ow, and then I'm going to hear a second later, ow. Same thing. I'm leading them to stumble just like I'm stumbling. So when you see this, that we could be stumbling, there is no cause for stumbling if you're in the light. But if you're in dark, you're stumbling. That means you yourself can stumble. But if somebody's following you, they're going to go right with you. And they're going to fall for the same things you're falling for. And John's saying you don't need to do that. You don't need to stumble around like that. So it not only affects our relationship, but it affects others. But the other thing, the way I see this is in how we love our brothers, because it says in here, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But then verse 11, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. The way I see this is when we look upon somebody else and that hate builds up in us, the thing we need to stop and realize is that everything that Christ forgave us for, He's forgiven them for. Everything they've done bad in their life, He's forgiven. Everything we've done bad in our life, He's forgiven. So how can we look on somebody else in different eyes? Because Christ doesn't. If He's willing to forgive everything they've done, then that means we've got to look at them in a different way, a new way. That's why this is an old commandment, but in a new way. Because we're looking on people through Christ's eyes, not ours. And we're willing to forgive them because He has forgiven them. We're willing to forgive them because He's forgiven us. So that we're not looking at them how the world sees them. We're looking at them how Christ sees them. And we're willing to forgive them just like He did. But now, because of the effects on the vertical relationship, in verse 11 it says, but the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. There's three things you can see there. When you're hating your brother, when you're having feelings about your brother that you wish, you know, and when I say brother, I mean any Christian, I mean anybody. Because it says in here, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's everybody. So when you're looking at anybody that way, that's applying. That means that we're in darkness, we're walking in darkness, and we don't know where we're going. That means we're walking separate from Christ, and we can go astray. So that's the things that affects our vertical relationship with Christ. Because when we hate our brother, we're walking in a separate way from him. And we're breaking that fellowship with him. So our horizontal, meaning our relationship with each other, directly affects our relationship with God. So let me ask you this in closing. How's your relationship with others? Because John says in here that if you hate your brother, then you're walking in darkness. How's your relationship with the others? How's your relationship with God? Because he also says that if you hate your brother, maybe you don't know Christ at all. So let me ask you, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you don't, I'm going to be down front, and I will be glad to explain how you can know him. If you do, but yet you're holding hard feelings with your brother or with your sister in Christ, maybe today's the day where you say, I just need to put all that away, and I just need to come and say it's over. It's done with. And I'm ready to walk in the light because I'm tired of walking in the darkness. All right, let me pray and then we'll sing. Lord, I thank you for this text this morning. I thank you that you have shown us this new commandment, which is old, which is from the beginning, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, help us as we walk through our Christian lives to show that love. Not a love of feelings, but love of action, a love that will cost us. Lord, I also pray that if there's somebody here that hasn't experienced that love, they haven't given their life over to you, and Lord, you would step in right now and let them know they need you as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
134.
Thank you.